Let's take the Word of God this morning. We will go to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter number 13. In just a moment, I'd like to begin in verse number 1. Luke chapter number 13. It was a great privilege to have Brother Bill with us for a few days. I sure enjoyed his preaching. I enjoyed his fellowship. He preached in chapel on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday mornings, and we just had a great time. And God did a great work. And today, I want to preach on this subject. Are you bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit? Now, I don't know in your life, as far as physically speaking, but I'm sure that most of us here enjoy certain types of fruit. Fruit is something very wonderful that God has created. In fact, we know that in heaven one day that we will still eat fruit. The Bible talks of that. Fruit is something very special, sweet, delicious, nourishing to our bodies. But it is often very discouraging and very unusual to find a fruit-bearing tree that bears no fruit. Now, I grew up in Tennessee where my grandfather, my mom's dad, he had all kinds of apple trees in his yard. And when I went there, we didn't use them to eat with them. We used them to throw against my sisters, you know, and things like that. They became weapons of mass destruction, you know. But I can still remember going into his lawn and being able to pick an apple. Of course, there were some that we ate, but mostly it was just playing around and having fun. But I can remember on different occasions finding a tree that had no fruit, no apples whatsoever. And I would say, "Papa, what's wrong with this tree?" And he would always say, "Well, I don't know, but it's not bearing fruit." There was something wrong with the root system, no doubt. Some type of, no doubt, disease. Something that was interfering with the branch's ability to bear fruit. God has called every one of us here this morning to bear fruit. We are to bear fruit, and there is something unnatural when a child of God is not bearing fruit. This morning, I do not know in your life, but I want to ask you, are you bearing fruit? Now you say, "Well, Pastor, what is the fruit of a child of God?" Well, the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. In the sense, it is us reaching people, giving the gospel to those that do not know Christ as their Savior. That is a part of the fruit of a Christian. But I believe we also find the fruit of a Christian is what Galatians chapter number 5 speaks about when it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance." The Bible does not call it fruits. It is fruit, singular. And this morning, may I ask you, are you bearing fruit? Now, when we come to Luke chapter number 13, we find a parable. Now, what is a parable? A parable are stories that Jesus Christ told, and the word parable means to cast alongside. The ideal is that Jesus is giving us a story here in the Bible. Alongside that story, there is a great principle that the Lord wants us to know. And by the way, in particular this morning in Luke chapter 13, in this story, alongside of the story, is a great principle of how God works in our lives and what He expects from our lives. He expects fruit. This morning, are you bearing fruit? Luke chapter number 13, and let's begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or these 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Brethren, this morning I want us to see from this story, and I want to dive into this parable today. And I want you to see as we begin this morning that God has placed us here on this earth for a specific purpose and for a specific reason. You are not here by accident. You are here on purpose. And that purpose is to bring forth fruit to bring glory to your Heavenly Father. And brethren, this morning, if we are not bearing fruit, then let us take heed today. Let us ask God, God, search my heart. And Lord, help me to bear fruit. Number one this morning, I want you to notice the privilege of fruit bearing. Now, we know today that it is a great privilege to be a part of the family of God. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, it is a privilege to bear fruit for our Heavenly Father. Now, we think this morning, well, why did Jesus give this parable along with this story? Now, He is talking to the Jews here. And in particular, He is speaking to the nation of Israel. He is talking to the religious leaders. And He is saying to them, do you think that those Galileans who were disobeying the law and they had their sacrifices and Pilate killed them, they were very evil men? Do you think that they were the evil men of all evil men? He said, no, except you. And unless you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then the Lord gives the story about the Tower of Siloam and how that the people died there that day. You see, Jesus was speaking to people who thought that every calamity in life was a result of sin. And they were saying, in a sense, well, these Galileans, they were sinners. And look what happened to them. They died. And look at the people there at the Tower of Siloam. And they were evil, wicked men. And look what happened to them. And Jesus is saying to them, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then the Lord deals with, I believe, the very heart of the matter. He deals with the root of their life. Let's take our Bibles this morning and let's go to Isaiah chapter number 5. Now understand, Jesus is speaking here to the nation of Israel and He deals with something. By the way, in a sense, they were comparing themselves to other people that they thought were more wicked than they were. In a sense, they were saying, Lord, look at those Galileans. We're better than they are. And look at those people at the Tower of Siloam. We're better than they are. They were comparing themselves to others. And then Jesus deals with the very heart of the matter. He deals with the privilege of fruit bearing. You say, well, what are we talking about, the privilege? Do you understand that the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, were the privileged people? God brought them out of Egyptian bondage, and God provided them a wonderful land, and God gave them greater privilege than anyone else. I mean, God took care of them. He met their needs. He supplied them with all that they had need of. But guess what they did? They did not bear fruit because they would not obey God. They would not allow Him to lead them and direct them in their lives. So the Lord, here in Isaiah chapter number 5, gives us something, all right? Now, when we read this, we're going to see something about the vineyard. And then we're going to see something about the fig tree. Let me help you to understand this. The fig tree in Isaiah chapter number 5, the fig tree in the vineyard represents the nation of Israel. It represents the Jewish people. The vineyard is the privileged place that God designed and gave to His people. And here's what we find about the nation of Israel. Isaiah chapter number 5, we look in verse number 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it. And also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes. And it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned, nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. Now here the Lord is, he is dealing with the heart of the matter. Here are the men of Israel. They are looking at the Galileans. They are looking at the men at the Tower of Siloam. And they are saying, look at those men. They're wicked. They are more wicked than we are. And in a sense, they were comparing themselves with other people. And brother, may I say to you today, as long as you compare yourself to someone else and you say, well, I'm better than he and I'm better than she, I'm better than that Christian, I'm better than that coworker, I'm better than that family member, you will never grow and bear fruit as a child of God. You'll never do what God has called you to do in your life. Look here, it's always easy to find someone that's not doing as much as we are doing for Jesus Christ. It's always easy to find someone and to compare ourselves and to say, well, I'm better than they are. But here the Lord wants to bring their attention off of everyone else. And he says, I want you to look at yourselves. And I want you to see that you are not bearing fruit. And the privilege of fruit bearing. The nation of Israel was privileged. In fact, it was almost as if God was saying, is there any more that I could do to bless you? Is there any more that I could do to give you greater privilege than what I've already done? Can I provide for you more than I have already provided for you? And the answer to that is no. In fact, the Lord said to them in this Isaiah chapter number 5, he is saying, I expected something from you. He is saying, I took tender care to build a fence about you. The Lord protected the nation of Israel like no other people. He provided for them. He gave them rain and he gave them bread and he met their every need. And he said, I built a tower. I pruned you. I took care of you. I met your needs. But when I came expecting to find fruit, I found none. And the Lord is dealing with them. Now, folks, we must understand that in Luke chapter 13 and in Isaiah chapter 5, the interpretation is that, yes, this is dealing with the nation of Israel, but the application is for all of us here today. I ask myself the question that I want to ask you. Are you bearing fruit? I'm thankful that you're here today. And we had a great week. It's been a long week in our church. And God has worked. We saw two ladies saved on Monday night. Saw two teenagers saved on Friday in the Bible club. We had a great time. I enjoyed preaching to the men at the men and boys camp out. And God worked in our hearts. But may I say to you that you are not here in church just to hear good preaching. And not here just to hear the music. And not here just to have the fellowship. All of that is good and well. But you are here to grow. And so that you bear fruit for Jesus Christ. And I ask you, are you bearing fruit? There is a great privilege of fruit bearing. And folks, today, let us all admit that God has been good to us just like the nation of Israel. God has blessed us. God has blessed you personally. He has blessed your family. But God has been good to us here at Grace Baptist Church. We are blessed. We are privileged people. Folks, today, can I say this to you? Maybe you did not grow up in a Christian home, but you did grow up in a land where you heard the gospel. You grew up in a place where someone told you of Jesus Christ. I think about my life. I grew up in a Christian home, and I had the privilege to go to a Christian school. I went to a Bible college. And listen, because of that, I have great accountability before God. Oh, listen, God has given me so much. There is a privilege to bear fruit. But number two, I want you to notice that there is a personal accountability of fruit bearing. May I say to you today that it is our time, it is our opportunity to bear fruit here and now. I wonder, are you bearing fruit? Now, notice back in Luke chapter 13, would you go back there? Because I want to show you some things. Now remember, here they're blurting out. They're saying, look at those Galileans. Remember those? Remember those men at the Tower of Siloam. Remember what it says. We go back to Luke chapter number 13 and verse number 2. And Jesus is speaking here. He's dealing with the heart of the issue. Verse number 2, and Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? He goes on in verse number 4, or these 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Jesus here deals with the heart issue. And he says to them, listen, you are personally accountable for bearing fruit. You know something? I believe that most of us, we are good at giving excuses on why we do not bear fruit. I've heard people, I remember when I was youth pastor years ago, and I heard a man say one time, well, I didn't grow up like you grew up, speaking of me. And he says, I can't do what you are doing with your life. And I thought to myself, listen, I have an accountability to God, but that man had an accountability to God. And may I say to you today that all of us one day, we will stand before a holy God, and we will give an account of our gifts that He gave to us, our talents, our abilities, and our opportunities to serve the Lord. We all have a personal accountability to God. And here the Lord is bringing that to these men. He is saying, you want to look at the Galileans. You want to look at those 18 men at the Tower of Siloam. But Jesus said, I'm not going to look at them. Let's talk about you. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He is saying, get your eyes off of everyone else and get your eyes on yourself. Are you bearing fruit? Folks, we have an accountability to God this morning. By the way, when we think about this, we think about different things in life. By the way, comparison always cripples. Comparison always constricts. Comparison always hurts you. We're all guilty of it. We look at someone maybe our age and we think, well, I should be further along in my life, maybe like they are. Or we look at someone and say, well, I'm better than they are. I'm a better Christian than they are. I've done more with my life than they've ever done. And can I tell you something? You and I have a personal accountability to bear fruit for Jesus Christ. You know something? If you go throughout your life looking at others will always ruin your life. It will. By the way, I remember last Sunday morning, Dr. Bill preached about forgiveness and how that Jesus Christ has forgiven us. But may I say to you on another note, if you go through life blaming everyone else for your lack of obedience to God and your lack of fruit bearing, I want to tell you, you will stand before God with that. So many people want to say, well, you know, my dad, my mom. Listen, what about your personal accountability to God? You may say, well, Pastor, you don't know what so-and-so did to me, and you don't know how someone hurt me. But we are personal, accountable to God to bear fruit. And by the way, I'm your pastor, and I thank God for that privilege. But you know something? I am not accountable for you bearing fruit in your life. Think with me just for a minute about maybe an orchard somewhere, and you have all kinds of trees out there. Let's just take that they're apple trees out there. They're bearing fruit. Do you know that it's not another apple tree's responsibility to help another tree bear fruit? That would almost seem ridiculous, would it not? You would think, well, that tree can only bear its own fruit. And that is true for your life and my life, that God holds us personally accountable that we are to bring forth fruit. You see, the emphasis is not necessarily on the fruit, but the emphasis is on the root this morning. That's what Jesus is dealing with. He is saying, you want to talk about what people have done. And by the way, all of us are bearing some type of fruit today. You may have the fruit of the flesh, or it could be the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, the Bible talks about, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. We'll look at that a little bit later. But may I say to you, what fruit are you bearing in your life? Oh, you will bear some fruit. You will either bear fruit for the glory of God, or you will bear fruit unto yourself. You see, the Lord is dealing with a personal accountability. He is saying, it's not about someone else's privilege, it's about your privilege. It's not about someone else's accountability, it is about your accountability. In the sense, Jesus is saying, listen, what I did for the nation of Israel, I delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. I took care of them. I allowed even the shoes that they were wearing not to wear out. I gave them bread from heaven, manna. He said, I took care of them. I met their needs. I protected them from their enemies. What more could I have done? And when I looked for fruit, there was no fruit. Can I ask you a question this morning? What more could God have done in your life up to this point? Listen, the Lord has met your needs. He has protected you. He has worked in your life. He has brought the gospel to you. And we have a personal accountability to bear fruit. Now go back to Luke chapter 13, and I want you to notice some things here. Let's go back to verse number 6, because I want to read this parable. Notice what it says. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Now, please know, that's not unusual. According to Bible law, there could be different types of trees planted in a vineyard. By the way, the Lord had specific instructions for how vineyards were to be planted. But this fruit-bearing tree, this fig tree, it could be planted in a vineyard. And the fig tree is the nation of Israel. The vineyard is what the Lord did for them. He planted them there in the promised land. He gave them so much. So let's read it again. He spake also this parable, verse 6. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Now the emphasis here is the Lord comes to his vineyard and he comes to the fig tree. And he looks specifically upon the fig tree, his people. And he looks upon the fig tree and there's no fruit there. He comes year after year and the emphasis is 3 years that he has come. And he comes and there's no fruit on the tree. And then he says, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Now, the idea, why cumbereth it the ground? What does that mean? It means it's taking up space in my vineyard. And the space is wasted because it is not bearing fruit. Now, let me say this to you. You and I are a part of God's vineyard. Did you know that? And by the way, the Lord, He is the Lord of the harvest. It is His vineyard. And Jesus said in John chapter 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. You see, it is His vineyard, and we are in His vineyard. He has planted us. Guess when the Lord planted you and me? The day that we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We were planted in His vineyard. We are part of His family, but He is working in our lives so that we bear for fruit. We bring forth fruit. And by the way, do you know something? You and I are not fulfilled. There is no contentment in our life. There is no joy unless we are bringing forth fruit. There's really none. Our daughter's in college, and of course, we miss her greatly. And we are counting down the days where she'd come home for a break, you know. And seriously, in fact, a week ago, she's 4 hours from here, so it's 4 hours there, 4 hours back. So we drove 8 hours to see her for 4 hours, all right? Now look, I know it's not practical, but love doesn't come into practicality, you know. It just does not. You just don't filter that in anywhere, you know. But she called us the other day, and she was just bubbling over. In fact, it was last Sunday night that she called, and I was on the phone with her, and I mean, she was just talking about what God is doing, and she got to lead her first person to Jesus Christ. And she was just thrilled and just excited, and she said, "Dad, there's nothing like that in all the world." And I said, "I know, Abby." And she was just so happy. But can I tell you something? She was experiencing what it is to bear fruit. There is nothing like it in this world for you and I to bear fruit for Jesus Christ. That could be sharing the gospel with someone else and they come to know Christ. It could be showing love and joy and peace and having that within our life. But God expects us to bear fruit. But may I say to you, I wonder if the Lord looks at your life and my life, and I wonder if He says, "I've come all of this time. I put them in a good church. I gave them a good family. I allowed them to hear the gospel. I've given them the Bible. I've given them lots of opportunity. But they bear no fruit." Could the Lord say about your life and my life, "Cut it down"? Now that does not mean that we would lose our salvation because we are in Jesus Christ. But it does mean this. It does mean that we lose His blessing. By the way, why do you think, no wonder, there are some churches and there are some Christians that are having such trouble in their lives? It could be because God's judgment is upon them because there is no fruit. You know something, I'll tell you this. In our church here at Grace Baptist Church, if all we have is some social gathering, we might as well close the doors to this church. If all we are doing is coming and just being here, and we're coming and listening and saying, "Wow, good message," and we go about our day, and it means nothing to our life, then I'm going to tell you something. We are not a church that has the blessing of God upon it. But if we are a church that is giving to foreign missions, we are a church that is seeking to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is our passion, it is our heart, then we are bearing fruit for Jesus Christ. You see, folks, we know of churches where they have ceased to bear fruit for Jesus Christ. And I believe in a sense that God has written Ichabod above the doors where the glory is departed. I'm going to tell you something. Monday night when those two ladies came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's why we are here at Grace Baptist Church. That's one of the reasons. Oh yes, we are here for instruction and growth. And yes, we are here that we can fellowship together. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But we are here to bear fruit. You know something, the ideal is if there is a fruit tree in a vineyard, if it's not bearing fruit, you would do the same thing that I would do. We would cut it down. We would remove that. We would put another tree there. Why? Because the ground that it's taking up is wasted unless it is bearing fruit. You see, the Lord is dealing in a special way with the nation of Israel. He is working in their hearts. And by the way, brethren, may I say this to you? Notice what it goes on to say, and let's look at the Bible here in verse number 7. "Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord," and I believe there was great compassion and mercy here, "Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down." The ideal here was the Lord was saying, I'm going to do something. I'm going to disturb the ground. I'm going to break the ground up so maybe it can receive nutrients. And I'm going to dung it. I'm going to put fertilizer on it. I'm going to do everything that I can do so that it can bear fruit. And brethren, today, can I tell you what God is doing in your life and in my life? He is breaking up that hardened ground around the root system of our lives. I'll tell you what He is doing. He is digging about our life. He is disturbing things in our life that need to be disturbed. Has God ever disturbed you? Has He ever wakened you to your responsibility and your great privilege of bearing fruit? Has He awakened you and stirred you in your life? It is a work of God, but it is a work of mercy. By the way, I believe that we are living between Jesus saying, cut it down, and the second coming of Jesus Christ. I believe that we are living in that time period of the mercy of God, that God has given us this opportunity and this privilege. Oh, listen, what the Lord does to your life and mine, He disturbs us. I want you to think today. Think of how many people go to churches and they read their Bibles and they listen to the Word of God. They get nourishment upon them, but they never produce any fruit. They never bear any fruit. Can I tell you what that happens? They go through divine disturbances and the Lord seeks to wake them up. But there is no change. I think that at any moment the Lord could come by and say, cut it down. The idea was, I'm going to remove my hand of blessing. I'm going to take away my hand of fruit bearing. And they are not bearing any fruit. Folks, today, we have a great privilege of fruit bearing. But there is a personal accountability. May God awaken us to our accountability to bear fruit. And by the way, this Luke chapter 13 is about how do we get right with God. And you see, these Jews, they were saying, look at all them. And the Lord is saying, I want you to look at yourself. I want you to get right with me. And you see, the emphasis here is not necessarily on the fruit. It is on the root of our heart. Can I tell you this? That if things are right in our life, you and I are going to bear fruit. In fact, if we are ever going to be right with God, we must come before the Lord and say, Lord, I know that I'm going to stand before You one day. And God, I know I'm going to answer for my ability and my privilege and my responsibility in life. You see, there is evidence of the right kind of life when he or she is bearing fruit for Jesus Christ. I want to be a fruit-bearing Christian. You know, I told the Lord recently, I said, God, I don't want to just preach good messages. Oh, yes, I want to preach, and I want to preach with God's power. But I don't want to just come to church and have fun and fellowship. That's part of it. It's wonderful. But I want to bear the fruit that You have called upon me to bear. I don't want the Lord to look at my life and say, look what I've done for that man. Look how I brought him to Jesus Christ. And look what I did for his family. And look what I did. His mom and dad made a sacrifice to send him to a Christian school to give him a great foundation for life. And look how I met his needs and provided for him. I gave him every opportunity. And yet, he does not bear fruit. You see, folks, we can talk like a Christian, we can even act like a Christian and look like a Christian, but God knows the root of our heart. He knows. And this morning, can I ask you something? Is there fruit in your life? Is there fruit that you are bearing for Jesus Christ? The Lord has every right this morning to expect fruit from you and me. He saved us, He has called us, and He has disturbed our lives. He has nourished us. Listen, I can think back to my life. How many people God put in my life to influence me as a young man? I mean, I think about it. Last night I got a call and I was on the phone for a long time with a young man that was in my teen group for many years. And he's serving the Lord today and God is using him and it's great. And as I spoke with him last night, he was telling me how God was working and using him for the glory of the Lord. And I thought to myself, that is what God has for all of us, to bear fruit. And by the way, this morning, you and I have life in us. I'm not talking about just physical life. I'm talking about the life of Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God, Christ indwells you this morning. And let me say this to you, that is spiritual. It is powerful life. And that life will bear fruit if you allow it. The problem this morning is not the Lord. The problem is me allowing the Lord to speak through me. And by the way, if there is no fruit in your life, then there's one or two things that's the reason. If there is no fruit in your life this morning, there's one or two reasons. Number one, either you do not know Christ as your Savior, or you are not abiding in Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and let's go to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. And by the way, too many times and places in my own life, I've placed too much emphasis on activity rather than spirituality. You know, I don't want to give you the ideal that, hey, you just need to do more. And if you do more, then you'll bear fruit. That's not the emphasis this morning. It's not doing more for the Lord. Now, we should desire to do more for Him. We should be busy about our Father's business. We should be busily serving the Lord. But the key is not doing. The key is an abiding. Now, think just for a moment. Let's think in our minds about that fruit tree, all right? Can you think of one? How many ever had a fruit tree in your yard, or maybe even one now? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? All right, very good. And I remember when I was a kid, we used to grow watermelons, and I enjoyed that. And, you know, I've been in Florida before where the orange trees are. Beautiful. I love that. It's great to see it. We were in Arizona this summer, and we saw lemon trees. I'd never seen a lemon tree before. And it's funny, our house where we were staying, renting, all of our lemons were green. The next door neighbor had yellow lemons, you know. And I was like, man, I'm jumping over there and getting some of those, you know. But trees that are to bear fruit, they do not bear fruit of their own. Now, I want you to think just for a moment about the branch. You know something, the branch that is holding the fruit or bearing the fruit, if you disconnect the branch from the tree, I promise you, it will never bear fruit again. If you break it off of the tree, hey, it may have the fruit on it then and there at that time, but it will lose all ability to bear fruit. Folks, today, you and I cannot produce fruit. We can't do it. It is only Jesus Christ that can bring forth fruit in your life and in my life. And the key this morning is submission and surrendering to Him. It is abide. The word abide, as we read it here in John chapter 15, means to remain. It means to stay close. It means to remain close to be connected. Let's read it. John chapter 15, we come to verse number 1. The Bible says, Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He is the one who prunes. He's the one who is the gardener, the heavenly gardener per se. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And by the way, the word of God is our cleansing agent. Every fruit tree has to be cleansed. It has to be removed from all the insects and the disease that might come upon it. And the Word of God is the one thing that cleanses your life and my life. We read on in verse 4, Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now the emphasis here in verse 6 is not that the Lord will send us to hell. That's not the ideal there. But the ideal is that we will be placed on a shelf per se. The ideal, you think about a branch that's broken off from a fruit tree. There's nothing good for that. You throw it in the fire. It's dead. It's dry. There's nothing good for it. Verse 7 says, If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Folks, today, as Christians, we are to bear fruit. But how do we bear fruit? The bearing of fruit is abiding in Jesus Christ. It is obedience to Him. Do you know what happens in your life and in my life? When the Lord deals with us, He convicts us about things in our life that do not belong there. He convicts us about sin. He convicts us about our lack of obedience to Him. When He deals with us, guess what He's doing? He's digging about. He's disturbing us. But when we say no to the Lord, when we say, no, I'm not going that far. No, I'm going to keep that sin in my life. I'm going to tell you what happens. Then what happens is we get disconnected from the vine. We are not able to bear fruit. Galatians chapter 5, would you turn there in closing here this morning? Galatians chapter number 5. And I want to bring you to the last point. The first point, the privilege of fruit bearing. The personal accountability of fruit bearing. But number 3, the purpose of our fruit bearing. Why are we to bear fruit? Well, we read it. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Can I say this to you? If you want to bear fruit this morning so other people will think good of you, then you will not bear fruit. If you bear fruit for your glory, for your honor, for people to exalt you and to lift you up, sorry, you will not bear fruit. Why? Because the very purpose of fruit bearing is to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. Look here, if I were to go in some orchard somewhere and I were to see all kinds of trees, different kinds of trees, bearing fruit. Now let's just remove ourselves from geographical locations, and I'm understanding certain trees could not bear fruit here, but let's just remove that just for a while. But let's say that we go into some orchard and we see apple trees and orange trees and we see peach trees and we see all of that. We're all around there, all this different kind of fruit, and it is beautiful fruit. It is nourishing fruit. It looks so good. I'm going to tell you what you would do. You would not say, boy, look at those branches there. Didn't they do a good job? No, you wouldn't say that. You would not say, boy, those branches, boy, they've done a great job, have they not? No. You would say, boy, who takes care of this? Who prunes this? Who waters this? Who takes care of it? Who keeps the insects away from it? You would want to know who is the man responsible for that orchard. That is our Heavenly Father. And can I tell you something today? I want to bear fruit in my life so that people will say, look what God has done in His life. Look what the Lord has done. Look how God has created this. Look how God, listen, God has called us all to bear fruit. And by the way, if you're a child of God, you can bear fruit because the life of Jesus Christ is within you this morning. He enables you to bear fruit. Look in Galatians chapter number 5. We come to what we call the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Now notice what it says. Galatians 5 verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What is the emphasis there? Folks, if you can do those works of the flesh and it does not bother you, there is no conviction, then let me say this to you, you are not a child of God. But may I say to you that every Christian here this morning is capable of the works of the flesh. You are capable. Why? Because you have a flesh. And I have a flesh. Do you know something? When we think about a fruit tree, that fruit tree is capable of bearing wonderful, nourishing fruit. But it is also capable of bearing rotten fruit. It's also capable of bringing forth something that is wild and something that is not nourishing. But, look what it says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, what is this parable all about that we have just read? It's about fruit bearing. It's about the root. Look here this morning. If you and I are not bearing fruit, what's coming out of your life? Look, you are producing some type of fruit. And I'm producing some type of fruit. Look at that list. Is it the works of the flesh? Is that what's coming from your life? Or is it the fruit of the Spirit? Do you have a desire to see others saved? Do you work on reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Has God used you to reach people? Folks, today, if we are not bearing fruit, we are just taking up space here on earth. This is our time. This is our opportunity. This is our privilege to serve the Lord. And by the way, the purpose for it all is to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. You know something? If all we have here at Grace Baptist Church is a big church and nice buildings and people say, wow, have you seen it out there? It's a beautiful place. That's great, and I thank God for all of that. But folks, if we are not bringing glory to our Heavenly Father, then really we have ceased to exist for what God has called us to do. Today, I want to bear fruit. I pray that you want to bear fruit. And this morning, maybe you're here and you are not bearing the fruit of the Spirit because you're not just not abiding in Christ. You don't even know Jesus as your Savior. Then this morning, let us respond. Let us come to the Lord. And by the way, if you're not bearing fruit, would you come to the heavenly gardener this morning who knows exactly what you need? Now look, I don't consider myself a gardener by no stretch of the imagination. I remember when I was in high school, I worked with a landscaper for a certain amount of time. He had a certain tool, his pruning tools, and they were very special to him. And he taught me at a certain time. He said, look, I'm going to tell you how. And we would go to like a rose bush. And maybe the, what he called the dead ends, where it was dead. He said, you got to cut that off. You got to remove it. He would take that tool and he would cut it in a certain way. It wasn't meant to be pulled off. It had to be cut. And he showed me, look in here. And he would show me inside. It was new life there, green. On the end of it, it was dead. On the end of it, it stopped producing any fruit, the fruit of the flower. But he said, look at it in here now. And sure enough, a few weeks later, beautiful roses would come. Folks, God wants you to bear the beautiful roses in your life. He wants you to bear fruit. He loves you. He is doing everything for you to bear fruit. It is not His fault. It is not the gardener's fault. It is us. And today, let us come to Him. Let us say, Lord, I'm not bearing fruit. I'm bearing the works of the flesh. Would You help me? Would You search me? And when we submit and surrender, then and only then, He enables us to bear fruit. It is for the purpose of His glory and His honor. Let's bow our heads in prayer.